Super Senpai Podcast.
Welcome to the Super Senpai Podcast. This is a monthly, episodic, tokusatsu-related podcast where we're talking about fights and tights. I'm Pat.
And I'm Grant. And it's good to be back again. How you been, Pat? How you been, buddy?
Pretty good. Going to the movies a lot more than usual. I guess we're already in that summer blockbuster phase.
What you been seeing?
Oh, you know, all the hits. Recently, the Detective Pikachu, and then like 2 weeks before that was Endgame, so that was a lot of feelings.
Right, yeah, I still haven't seen it.
Oh, wow. Sorry.
I know. I'm here living in 2002, just unaware of any of the things, so. How was Detective Pikachu, though?
I really liked it. Like, I think, this is kind of a common thing that I've heard a lot of people say, but where it's like, the plot, you know, whatever, the plot's fine. Like, oh, sorry, I don't know how much you want me to say, like.
I probably won't even get to see it, so.
Okay, well, wait for it to show up on streaming or something.
Right.
Yeah, overall, I would say the plot was like, yeah, it's fine. It's not amazing. It's not incredible. I wasn't expecting whatever things that they were throwing at me with it, but it was more kind of like taking in this world. And then this is something that everyone said, but it's like a world where Pokemon are real and they just live with them. And that's just what it is. It wasn't like it's not like a new thing. It's not like hey, this is a crazy new, like, oh, suddenly they appeared in our world. Like, it felt like they sold it as an in-universe thing with people just walking around and they're everywhere. Mm-hmm. And it's like, so I really liked it for that moment. And then, you know, I went with the family for it. And it was just nice. It was nice to go. Nice to see. I would love to see more, like, take place in that world for sure.
Well, cool.
Yeah.
Well, good. Yeah. I mean, I think I'm still in the minority on not liking really how it looks. I mean, all I see is the twit is, you know, the memes and the images, and I still really don't. Something about them being lifelike furry just really, I don't know. It just doesn't settle well with me, but.
I think it works in motion, and I feel like they sell it. Like, the things have the weight that they need to have. Pikachu's fluff really works, I think. I was talking to a friend, and he said that Psyduck was actually the thing that he thought was conveyed the best, and it was kind of like just the fluffiness and kind of manic look that Psyduck has. That just, I don't know, sold him on it. So that was really nice.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, good. I definitely like all of the fan art that spawned of just Pikachu drinking coffee and, like, holding knives, because, like, that works for me.
yeah, for sure. And, you know, definitely some look better than others. Like, I don't really know how to say it beyond that. But I think that, like, it was a lot of it was the atmosphere of it. Like, I enjoyed that very much. And I don't know what the heck else they do, but it was interesting. I did enjoy it, yeah. I'm just going to go in a circle and keep saying the same thing now.
That's okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, cool. Good. I haven't really seen or done all that much. I've been taking a bit of a toku break after finishing. I'm trying to remember on the last pod if I mentioned that I finished Kaku Ranger. Is that something we talked about?
I don't think you had. No, not yet. You had not yet finished it, but the last time we recorded.
So. Okay, then yes, I have finished Kaku Ranger. That's sort of the big toku achievement since then, and I'm about to wrap Mystic Force. I finally kind of got back on that. But Kaku Ranger was really, really good.
Hmm.
It very much appealed to me in all the ways that toku does, I guess. Like, it was very much a season for me. I think some of its high points were really, really high. I don't really feel like it ever was bad either. I don't know, and I maybe liked it more than Die Ranger. It's hard to say. There's been about a year or so since I've watched Die Ranger, so I don't know, but I really, really liked Kaku Ranger, like, a lot. And I think the finale was a really interesting way to end a show that's about punching things until they explode. It was just not the track I thought they were going to go on. I think the mid-season upgrade was pretty well earned. I mean, it was a pretty, you know, I mean, it's a ninja series, so there's going to be scrolls. But the interesting thing was they each of them had a different little side quest to pick up their own scroll, and so it took them, you know, 5 or 6 episodes or so to really kind of gather all the scrolls together and get the upgrade. And it wasn't unlike, say, like Lupin Ranger right now, where they're pretty much always getting a new toy. So it's, I mean, they're obviously earning it and building it as they go, but it's just something they're just always doing. So this was, but it wasn't like a one or two episode thing either. So it was just long enough to feel like a mini arc, I think, and that was really nice. And just some of the later episodes were just really, really good. All the yokai were really fun and interesting. It was great. It was a really good show. I definitely recommend Kaku Ranger, and it's certainly one that I have the least sort of forewarning about, since a lot of it just wasn't really used for MMPR. Like, there's really just none of that in it, because they just didn't use what they could for Alien Rangers, and that was about it.
Right, yeah. It wasn't really so. Mostly just the costumes, like, or did they actually use much footage at all?
I mean, having seen Alien Rangers only like 9 or 10 episodes, and MMPR Season 3, while it was probably some of the better MMPR stuff, I don't really recall that much about what they use. The yokai, just, they're so specific. Oh, another thing I will say is I think Ninjor is one of my favorite Sixth Ranger late additions to the cast. And I think what's interesting is, and I think I heard this on Ranger Danger or what have you, but in any case, I mean, it's pretty obvious from the text of the MMPR that they flipped the order of the Zords. The order in which they get them in Kaku Ranger is, they reversed it for MMPR, which I guess because the Muteki Shogun, who's like the giant Japanese castle that they have at the beginning, is really imposing and cool looking. So I guess they thought it was more of an upgrade than the other. I guess that was the decision. In any case, Ninjor in Mighty Morphin is like the character who helps give them their powers, right? Both in the movie and in the show. Like, he's like right there from the get-go. He's this sort of silly, kooky character, and he gives them their powers, so he's just there. But in Kaku Ranger, he doesn't really show up until, I don't know, nearly two-thirds of the way through the show, maybe? It's like somewhere around the like late 30s, mid to late 30s, I guess, of a 52-episode run. So he's not really in the show all that much, as opposed to, like, I'm just expecting him from the get-go. But, like, when he shows up, he's a really, really fun character, and he's... They didn't necessarily, you know, you never know with Power Rangers how much they change things or don't change things. I mean, he's still a very silly character in Kaku Ranger, because Kaku Ranger has a lot more comedy elements in it. But I think the fact that he's, like, because usually, I mean, at least, I don't know about you, but when I think of, like, a Sixth Ranger type character or a later edition cast member, it's always somebody who's somehow cooler than the rest of the cast, or, like, really experienced, or, you know, or whatever. You know, they're somehow more powerful or more kind of in command, usually some kind of veteran type character. And that's not always the case, but you tend to think of him that way. You know what I mean? And Ninjor is really not that style of character. He's kind of a hot-blooded red, and a lot of his, like, his powers to change into Samurai Man. Like, basically every episode, someone calls him an amateur, and he just loses it and turns into Samurai Man, and it's just kind of works every time. And it's just all the shenanigans he gets into. I don't know, he's really, really fun. He's I think, my favorite of that style of character so far. So I really enjoyed Kaku Ranger, and I'm excited to move on to O-Ranger. So, So news-wise, I don't know if we have much news-wise. We're in the Reiwa era now.
Yeah,
that's pretty exciting. Right. I think we talked about it a little bit last time, but I think the funniest thing I've seen since then is people commenting that all those people that have to put together the all Heisei era openings, like compilations on YouTube, they can finally rest. They can finally hang their hats up, because Heisei is over, and they can definitively end adding a new opening to those things every year. Yep. But Reiwa's here. We've got Ryu Soger seems to be doing really well in terms of Twitter popularity. I haven't started watching it. Have you?
I haven't. No, we haven't. I mean, I figured we were going to watch at least one or two of the episodes, so I've been holding off on it. Figure, well, once we finish.
Thanks
up,
for waiting for up. Me, sweetheart.
Yeah, once we wrap up Lupin Ranger versus Power Ranger, I think we'll sort of do a tour of things, just to feel things out or mix it up, right? Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
The thing that I've noticed the most, just in people, like, on Twitter or just in screenshots, the Black Ranger in this one, he just seems like an interesting dude, just from... like, he's either always mad at somebody or just looking cool. I don't know if that's the wrong interpretation, but that's my vibe so far.
Right, yeah. That's really, I'm just really excited to see. I mean, I guess my thing is, my heart is always going to be with Sentai. Like, I love Ultra, and I love Kamen Rider, and Garo looks cool. I haven't tried it yet, but, like, my heart's always going to be with Sentai and Power Rangers, and that's the one that I want it to be doing well no matter what. Obviously, we're enjoying Lupin Ranger versus Pat Ranger, and but I think the momentum wasn't there for a lot of people, and it always makes me a little sad whenever I want Power Rangers and Sentai to be doing well, and it kind of warms my heart that both Beast Rangers and Ryusouger both seem to be doing really well, and they have a lot of energy and a lot of momentum in the fandom right now, and that just always warms my heart. So, and it could just be our bubbles, but that
yeah, warms my heart. Beast Morphers looks, it sounds like it's doing really well. I don't know. I just was seeing like rumors or stuff. Like I think we only seen the first three episodes, but
still need to catch up on them.
It sounds like it's chugging right along, and I'm interested in seeing where it goes.
Oh no, there is some news that's happened since last episode that I did want to bring up, and it's a real bummer. Hmm. But I'm pronouncing his name right. Puamagasiva, the actor who was the Ninja Storm Red Ranger, he passed away in the past few weeks. I don't know what the conditions were, but I mean, he was only 38 years old. Just really sad for a guy like that to go young. And as far as I mean, obviously, a character you portray is not who you are as a person, but he was one of my favorite Reds. I really, really enjoyed Ninja Storm. It's a good season, and he was a great Red. And from all the accounts that I was seeing, just from friends and family and stuff like that on Twitter, it seemed like he was a very beloved guy. You know, a lot of people are going to miss. So it just, that was really sad to see that happen. Mm. So feels like it's too early to be losing Rangers, but, you know.
Yeah.
So that was a real bummer.
Anytime you hear about it, really.
Yeah, so but just 38, God, I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm not far away from that either. So it's just one of those things where you're just like, God, it's so young. That's so young. So, just very sad. But, sorry, I didn't mean to be a bummer there, but that just was kind of that definitely kind of shook me a little bit. I was not expecting to see that for sure. But,
yeah, that's unfortunate. I don't deal with death very well, so I don't really react.
I really don't either. Yeah. It's just very sad that, you know, and it's one of those things like, I don't know, you hate to see it at any age, but it really does hurt to see him kind of go that young, and it's, I don't know, it's a shame, but it was tough. Very, very encouraging to see the community response to it. Everybody was very respectful and very, you know, very positive kind of celebration of life type thing, so, but it's sad, so definitely wanted to. Mm-hmm. To make recognition of that. So, yeah. Well, on to lighter news. Shall we begin discussing the events of Lupin Ranger versus Pat Ranger since we last left off?
Yes. So off camera, off mic, we watched 40 and 41. 40 was kind of a little bit of the aftermath of, I guess, Kairi getting a little too close, or Keichiro trying to get too close to Kairi, and he was kind of a little bit moody, and so Toma and Umika were worried about him, and of course they run into a gangler that makes them worry even more. What was his name? Dugong Manatee, Manatee.
Yeah, I loved him. I loved
him. Yeah, like, is he a dugong? Is he a manatee? What's the deal?
Yeah, them like looking at the pictures and like stressing out was quite funny.
Yeah, so like he basically turned up, like amped up their anxiety, and so throughout the episode, they end up coming up with these really specific scenarios that kind of mix and blend together, where they're so worried about Kairi that they think, what is it? Umika thinks that he's going to marry this random lady and then get divorced and then live alone because she took the kids forever. And then Toma's concerned that he's going to just eat and eat and eat and eat. And then a woodpecker is going to fly in and blow him up. And then it just mixes all these. It's just a bunch of odd scenarios, but it was kind of fun. Like, what's happening here, guys? I don't know what you're doing. And it turns out, yeah, he was a little bit anxious about Keichiro. And they end up, the Lupin Rangers ended up challenging the monster together. And then he's like, I think Noelle's like, hey, you know, your friends are worried about you, aren't you? You should probably let them know what's up. They like, oh, I wasn't thinking about it. They end up defeating Dugong Manatee, or Dugong Manatee.
Mm.
first of all, during the fight, they do something crazy called like Lupin Kaiser All-Stars, which is like, I don't know what the precedent for this was. You just want to show off all the robots at once.
Okay, I was going to ask you that too, because I was watching and I was like, okay, this feels like this should have been prefaced with something. And I was like, yeah. did I forget something that's happened? But I was
I guess it's the magic on the field. I don't know, like, they were using magic to do it, because they, no, I mean, magic is one of the weapons.
No, right? I know, but it was just funny, it's like, I guess it's magic, question mark? That feels like the Toku response, like, I guess this is just magic.
Yeah, and so they did it, and it's like, oh, wait, only one of them is real, maybe they just had mirrors, giant mirrors set up, and then they defeated the monster. Like, I was like, okay, fine. And then it turns out Kairi was trying to find someone to adopt this dog. And it was like, that's why I was so preoccupied and bothering a bunch of people that you didn't know.
Mm.
But at the same time, he was like kind of willing to face a little that he was pushing people away. And so one of the things, that Keiichiro had tried to connect with him on in the previous episode was this whatever mobile game he was playing, and then he like, oh, here, let me install it for you, which I'm like, stealth ad, like, is that what you're doing here? Because I think that's a real game. I don't know, I didn't look it up, but it looked like whatever he was playing he put on his phone, and suddenly they're gonna connect that way or something,
as you do, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's how it goes, right? And then 41, this one I would say is a little bit more interesting. Like, that was fine, but this was a little more interesting because the big boss tells Destro, like, hey, you know, maybe are you interested in taking over? You wanna give it a shot? And Destro just goes for it. Like, he just attacks Toma and Tsukasa sort of when they're on their own. Like, they just happen to run into each other, and they get pulled into the world where I think either she's already been transformed and he's not. Or he hasn't. He didn't get a chance to transform before they get pulled into this other world. Toma's in a situation where he has to protect, like, he has to pretend that he's unskilled or pretend that he's just a regular dude. Meanwhile, Destro goes after Sakuya and Keiichiro, and also pulls them into the other world. The Lupin Rangers are kind of freaking out, like, what the heck? What are we supposed to do? How do we deal with this? Because on the other side, it's just Umika and Kairi. So in the other world, we have a little bit of like Toma playing dumb or pretending not to know what he's doing.
Right.
Sakuya and Keiichiro like are off somewhere else, but slightly in the same place. And they end up running into Cowboy Absolute Zero. And it's like, oh, what's going to happen? And we kind of see that this other world is where the boss's mansion is. So I guess this is where they're coming from. And it seems like it's a one-way trip. Meanwhile, the Lupin X, Lupin Red, and Lupin Yellow are kind of trying to deal with Destro on the other side. And Destro is so strong that the future prediction powers don't work on him. So it's like, no matter what you predict, he's still going to, like, slap you. Like, just got in there. But thankfully, they had stalled just enough so that, for whatever reason, they got freed from the other world. And so all of them attacked at once. And it seemed like it would be like, oh, we got him, but either it missed or he was just so resilient that it didn't kill him. And then instead of Destro becoming giant, he just summoned some golems, and so they tackle the golems themselves. was it the Lupin team? I can't remember. Like,
yeah,
I was like, okay, well, it's fighting golems, so I was kind of pacing a little bit. and then after this, it's revealed that Zamigo let all of them out of the other world, and that's when they were able to get away with it. Something to note is that at some point they were in such a bind that Toma had to grab the gun, VS Changer, and shoot at the enemies, and Tsukasa totally saw it, but she didn't really comment on it, so I feel like she's going to save that information for later.
Right.
And then on top of that, Destro did not have his Lupin Collection piece, even though he's a double status gold. He was just so dang strong, he felt like he didn't need it. Gosh comes up at the end of this, right? Yeah, like, Gosh comes up at the end of this and says, like, why don't you use it? Maybe you'll need it. So it's just about where we are. Like, it seems like next episode, that's what we're going to get a taste of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely was a little bit of more of a comedy one and then a bit of a plot-heavy one, which I still, you know, I have been harping on this for just dozens of episodes now, but I still kind of wish we knew what the ganglers were up to. Like, I wish we had some clue. Like, I mean, does this not feel like, I don't know, this is, I guess, my main complaint is I like the, okay, we're getting a little bit of plot, we're getting a little momentum, but, like, I feel like we had a very similar setup with Gosh and Destro in the forest, like, vaguely implying plans. Did we not have this moment, I don't know, 20 episodes ago? You know what I mean? Like, that's my only real complaint, is I feel like, are we starting now? Because, guys, we don't have a whole lot of show left to work with.
Yeah.
I still really enjoyed both episodes. I thought they were really, really good. All the subtext between Toma and Tsukasa was really fun. Mm-hmm. And the episode before that, I loved when they were following Kyrie around and imagining the different scenarios for him, like with the mockingbird, like hitting his stomach and making him explode. All that stuff was just ridiculous, and it was so overacted. It was really great. I loved it.
Yeah, I had fun with it for sure.
All right, well, are we ready to watch us some Super Sentai?
Let us do it.
Let's do that thing.
この番組は楽しい時を作るグループ PRT とザ・コミック・フィンドとご覧のスポンサーの提供でお送りします。
And we're back!
Alright.
Oh man, this was really fun. This was fun.
Yeah.
The action was cool. It was great, okay.
Agreed.
As possible so we can get into it. Yeah, so basically, in this one, Destro shows up for real this time, and they have to deal with him in this episode. He takes away their ground upgrades, so they don't have access to Super Lupin X or Super... What is it? Just Super Lupin Red? They lose the big guns, and they lose the prediction, and he actually can use it on them. And then, right as the Power Rangers show up, because at this moment, it's just Lupin Red and Lupin X. Right as the Power Rangers show up, he goes like, all right, check this out. And he slams his hammer on the ground and 13 districts go up in
13
flames.
13 districts just explode.
No casualties though, right?
Yeah, we don't really talk about the loss of life. I mean, again, we can only assume that it was the weekend.
Mm-hmm,
everyone was home, snug in their beds. And it was just 13 districts of empty office buildings.
Yep, just go up in flames. But yeah, there's a really weird feeling about it. Because not only that, not only were there... their super upgrades taken, Destro can use them very effectively. So
yes,
they have to sort of concoct a plan to challenge him again. Both the Pat Rangers and the Lupin Rangers are like, we'll use them to get what we want. The Lupin Rangers want the Pat Rangers to be decoys. The Pat Rangers want the Lupin Rangers to steal it, because they know that's what's going to happen. Finally, 40-something episodes into it, they just know it's going to happen. So they try it. He shows up at the global police headquarters. They're ready for him, and while the Power Rangers are fighting Destro, the Lupin Rangers try to swoop in and steal the collection items back, but he's ready for him, and so he counters, and it totally throws him off. Which at first I'm like, come on, that was your one plan, you don't have a backup plan. So they have to improvise. Lupin Red comes up with a crazy thing. Oh shoot, I missed something. During the first fight, Ghost shows up, and their combined attacks throws them off, which is what allows Destro to steal their items. And Noelle gets shooken up by Ghost showing up and using whatever her abilities are, Gare LeMond, which I think is either mind reading or some kind of, I don't know, I'm not really sure. It's like a prediction power, it seemed. And he's super freaked out about it. And when Kyrie mentions this later while they're patching him up, Kogure hears that and he's he makes them change the subject, and later on confronts Noelle to tell him not to fight. Hey, you better stay out of it or else. And it's whoa, geez, I don't know what that's about. So he's out of the fight, out of the initial fight.
Right.
So back to the fight, Lupin Red decides, at some point Kyrie is looking at Keichiro. Keichiro's looking at Kyrie what's he gonna do? What does he do? And so the first thing Kyrie does is he runs up and he looks like he's gonna shoot Destro with Lupin Magnum, but turns around and uses it to propel himself through the energy, whatever, his gravity field.
Yeah.
Which works eventually, and we get a really cool super attack that is supported by Keichiro. While he's distracted by this super attack that's coming in through his barrier, Keichiro grabs the Lupin items that he's just holding, and he's interrupted just enough that they can get in a few good hits.
Mm-hmm.
And this at this point is when Lupin X shows up, I think.
Or yes, he flips in and grabs the toys in midair, the vehicles as they're flying backwards.
Yeah. Oh, but that was not. That's not until.
Oh, that's that's a few super Keichiro, attacks later.
Keichiro. Well, no. Yeah, the super attacks happen, but Keichiro uses the two collection items that Destra's holding to unlock the safes. So he's he, the cop, is breaking into the safes for once, which is unusual.
A little B&E on the side.
Yeah, and so then, like, the last two that are missing or that were used to unlock it, that's what Lupin X, Patron X grabs. They go in for a big super, which looks really great, and then that's not quite enough to take them down. Destra shows up, and they all intentionally combine into good, cool Kaiser, and they defeat Destra. Like, it's super big, colorful laser.
Yes, yes. And the colorfulest.
Yeah, yeah. And the last shot we have is one of the boss kind of mourning Destra and two the Pat Rangers celebrating their victory at Juror and
all together, including Jim and including Hilltop. Like, yep, everybody's right there.
Yep, yep, yep.
You get a little orange juice toast. And it's very nice. It's very, very pleasant. Very
sweet. Yeah.
Yeah, so how did you feel about this episode? Come on, why don't I talk for a bit, since you just got done running your... you had to do that whole recap. I'll save you. I'll save your voice.
I really enjoyed this episode. I feel like the maybe some of the setup was a little all over the place, and maybe some of the justification for which powers could or would or wouldn't and all that was, you know, it was typical, just kind of you have to go with the moment-by-moment logic. But I think what really made this episode so much fun was the sheer variety of, like, combo team super attacks that we got. And how, I mean, we basically, and I think you and I talked about this during the episode, that the sort of giant beam isn't always the most exciting thing to see in Toku. Like, it's kind of cooler to see like a melee attack. There's a little more movement and kind of kinetic elements to it. But we saw a number of big beam attacks, but each one of them was kind of different and interesting visually, and the visual language being used, like when they were doing the attacks, like, for example, when the Good Cool Kaiser's like firing the giant Magnum at the end, when it flashes to Kairi and Keichiro, like, out of their, more in their sort of plain clothes, like, and focusing on their eyes, and, you know, all that stuff just really, really worked really well and made those attacks feel so powerful and big. And just seeing, like, all the team super weapons all together, or Kairi, like, just firing the Magnum to try to crack through the glass, like, all that stuff just was really, really good. And I think that sold it for me. I didn't think I'd be going into this going, oh, look at all these great big beam attacks. But it was really, really good.
Yeah, for real. Especially how, like, just the shot of it loading up all the VS vehicles as, like, bullets into the larger Lupin Magnum. Like, that was just excellent. Like, it looks cool. Please let it go on sale. The toy commercial worked. Please stop advertising.
Yeah, right. Please. I'm already buying it. Please.
Don't do this. Very effective toy commercial. Just that one, though. I'm not interested in the Kaisers. Just the Lupin Magnum, because he's precious and must...
must be protected. He protect, but he also attack. But we protect him.
The ground attack was great.
Yeah. They, you know, Destra hasn't had a whole, I mean, I guess he's probably, I mean, he and Ghost are the sort of our two primaries in terms of being lieutenants. And I think we've probably seen more of Ghost than Destra. And Destra's always kind of had the same thing. He's just super tough. Mm-hmm. But we got a pretty good feel for his sort of indestructibility and stuff this episode. And you got the sense that, okay, yeah, it's going to take like six super beams to drop this guy. So I think they did a good job selling that. It didn't feel like a sudden shocker, like, why does it all of a sudden take so much to defeat him? They've pretty much played that theme for him the whole time. So, and I think just kind of framing it as his, like, I'm the one that's trying to, you know, be the next boss and sort of take over his legacy, gave him just enough of a motivation that it worked.
Yeah, I will say, like, the one thing that was neat, like, I mean, not the one thing, there were a lot of, like, interesting things about Destra, but, like, he really no-sold any of their hits, like, any of their punches or small shots, like, when they were just trying to, like, do anything to him. And he didn't need to do it, he could have just barreled through it, but he was really like, yeah, okay, keep going, like, just wait, watch, I'm gonna swing this hammer, like, it was a lot of that, like, intimidation, I guess, by... futility, if that makes sense.
Yeah, right.
Something I'm interested in now is what I remember in this one battle appearance, the boss rocked everybody with, like, just by waving his hand, and at the end of this he's actively, like, upset. So it seems like very soon we're going to see him be an active player, and that's going to be kind of scary.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I sort of feel like the boss is either the boss or Ghosh are going to be more emboldened to be more active in some way or to risk more, I think, now that one of them's been hurt. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's been kind of a sort of a game for a long time. Now that Destra's gone, I think one or both of them will risk more, and maybe we'll get more of Cowboy Absolute Zero too. Again, I'm just praying for some heavier villainy, I guess.
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't really know what else there's to say. I feel like even summing it up covered everything in that tone. Oh, I guess the one thing was Noelle is like, what the heck is Noelle hiding at this point? Because I'm sure we're going to find out soon. For Kogure to be so clandestine about his... Well, shady mm-hmm. is a better way to put it. Because he was just like, shut up. Like, don't talk about it. Stay out of the fight. Like, what do you know? What's happening here?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, we do need to get more from Kogure too, definitely. So, mm-hmm. And I feel like more is going to hit the fan, because especially the fact that they're literally working together, and we got like both teams are working together,
mm-hmm.
they're more emotionally attached to each other, and there's that happy little moment at the end there where they're all sort of having a big meal around the table is a little too sweet. I feel like the friction's coming now. I feel like some kind of revelations or something sure. is coming. So they're getting a little
misunderstandings.
Too, yeah, they're getting too comfortable, even with like Tsukasa telling Toma, like, oh, I should have, like, a couple episodes ago, oh, I should have pegged you for tactical team or something. You know, she had this whole thing, like, you know, they're getting a little too comfortable. Where's the drama and the misunderstandings and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, well, what's going to happen is they're going to find out that the Cafe Jura folks are the Lupin Rangers, and they're going to be upset that they've been lied to this whole time. Easy. That's easy, right?
Like, mm-hmm.
On one hand, you're like, cool allies, but the other hand, I'm like, you freaking lie to us, man. Like, they're not going to take it lightly, I think. Or Sakuya will... No, there we go. Sakuya will take it the hardest, because he's the big feelings. And they're going to be... I don't know, that's my prediction. I'm getting ahead of myself, but that's what I feel like is going to happen.
All right, well, so I think... I mean, I'm still super positive on the show, and I feel like we're building up momentum to good stuff. Can't wait to finish it out and have more good stuff in the pipe. Anything else before we sign out, Pat?
I think we have a non-Lupin Ranger episode coming up. Secret.
We not do. Really. Ooh.
Yeah, so that'll be soon, I hope. It's a scheduling thing at this point, but something to look forward to.
Yeah, definitely. Hope to bring more excitement, a little more mix-up into the formula
mm-hmm.
coming up. I mean, we've talked about it a little bit off the pod, but I think detaching ourselves a little bit from a weekly is probably going to be the plan going forward, so we have a little more flexibility. Because mm-hmm. I think the special episodes are really fun to have guests on and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, so. Certainly. Yeah. And I think scheduling will be a little bit easier from here on out.
Probably. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Okay, well, I guess that'll be it.
Cool, cool. Sign us out.
Thanks for tuning in to the Super Senpai Podcast. We'll notice you again next time.
Super Senpai Podcast!